Book of Ezra, chapter 1, starting from the verse 1.
Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom, and put it also in writing, saying.
Now we see this Cyrus, a little bit confusing as we read the book of Ezra. But as we come to the chapter 4, 5, and 6, we will have more understanding about this Cyrus and Darius. People are getting mixed up with the both name, and they are thinking that some people say this is the same person, some people say these are two different people, but we will learn it later on. But here the word of God is saying, the first year of Cyrus, the king of Persia. Now this king is the Persian king. And as we learned a few minutes ago, that Nebuchadnezzar died. After that, his grandson became king. And their kingdom was so powerful. They had, just like we learn about the other countries, this country's walls and were very strong, and no enemy can defeat them. But the man did foolish thing, got the guards' holy vessels, and start drinking wine. And as you know, his kingdom was destroyed and he was killed. At that time, the Cyrus was the one who took over the Babylonian kingdom. Now, Babylonian kingdom, Babylon is right present Iraq. This man, Cyrus, even the heathen king, God inspired this man to let the Israeli people go, and not only that, to build the temple in Jerusalem. Now here is saying, according to the prophecy was done by Jeremiah. But Jeremiah is not the one who is prophesying about this man, but the Isaiah also is prophesying. So we are going to look a couple of verses. Go to the 2 Chronicles chapter 36, verses 22 and 23.
Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord spoken by the mouth of Jeremiah might be accomplished, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom, and put it also in writing, saying.
Now here the similar word is used by 2 Chronicles and Ezra first. But go to Jeremiah chapter 25, verse 12 and 13.
And it shall come to pass, when 70 years are accomplished, that I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, saith the Lord, for their iniquity, and the land of the Chaldeans, and will make it perpetual desolations. And I will bring upon that land all my words which I have pronounced against it, even all that is written in this book, which Jeremiah hath prophesied against all the nations.
Now here the Jeremiah is saying, what's going to happen to Babylon, and how God is going to deliver the children of Israel, but he say it will take 70 years. After the 70 years, they will be coming out of Babylon. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 10. We studied this verse before, but we are going to read it one more time.
For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you and causing you to return to this place.
Now, this is God is saying through the Jeremiah, saying this, I'm going to deliver my people from Babylon, and they are going to come to their own land, Jerusalem. And as you know, when the children of Israel, they were not doing good things, they were doing idol worship, and that's the reason God allowed Babylonian kings to destroy the Israeli people, destroy the temple, take all the vessels and everything, and they were in captivity. But God raised this Cyrus. Before this Cyrus was even born, some says 200 years before the Cyrus was born, the prophecy about Cyrus was written in the book. Let's go back to the Isaiah chapter 44 and start reading from verse 24 to 28.
Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, and he that formed thee from the womb, I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth by myself, that frustrateth the tokens of the liars, and maketh diviners mad, that turneth wise men backward, and maketh their knowledge foolish, that confirmeth the word of his servant, and performeth the counsel of his messengers, that saith to Jerusalem, Thou shalt be inhabited, and to the cities of Judah ye shall be built, and I will raise up the decayed places thereof, that saith to the deep, Be dry, and I will dry up thy rivers, that saith of Cyrus, He is my shepherd, and shall perform all my pleasure, even saying to Jerusalem, Thou shalt be built, and to the temple thy foundation shall be laid.
Now see here, God is prophesying about this King Cyrus, that you are going to be my shepherd. You're going to take care of my sheep, my Israeli people. And then he gives a little bit idea how God is so powerful. God is the one who can do anything. And we learned a few minutes ago that how this Babylonian king, Nebuchadnezzar, very proud person, thought everything I did it with my power, and within one second he lost his kingdom and he was in the jungle eating grass like an animal for 7 years until he realized that God has given me everything. And so the point I'm making here, God is telling this Cyrus, I have chosen you as my shepherd. And you're going to shepherd my people, and you're going to let my people go and try to help them to build the temple. Isaiah 45 verse 1.
Thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden, to subdue nations before him. And I will loose the loins of the king to open before him the two leaved gates, and the gates shall not be shut.
Now here in Isaiah 45, 1, he says, You are not only my shepherd, but I have anointed you. And you're going to rule all the nations, and I'm going to let all the nations come under you. So now when this prophecy was written, and this man didn't know that somebody has to point him out, Do you know your name is in our book and God has chosen you and you're going to let the children of Israel go and you're going to build the temple? And when this kind of people read the history and then they know what happened and what God did to the king of Babel, means Babylon, and what he did to his grandson Belshazzar, and how God destroyed his kingdom. And so they know that God is powerful and God can do anything. So here we see God is choosing the person who is not even godly, not Jewish man, but he is choosing the man who is heathen. From that you know God is so powerful. Now the people are going against God and doing whatever they want. God can change their heart anytime. He says he stirred up his heart. He changed the heart of the man. God says he can change the king, and king can come down from the kingdom, and the poor man can be a king. God has shown us time and time again. See, David was nobody. He was just minding his business. God made him a king and took the Saul out. So here the word of God is saying, God inspired the heathen king, the Cyrus, to do his will, to make him the shepherd and make him the anointed. The same word was used for Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the shepherd and he is the anointed one. So God can use any heathen or any unsaved person to do his will. Sometimes people are thinking, I'm the one and nobody is like me. God says, I can use anybody. I can use anybody who is willing. Now just think, this man heard about his prophecy and heard what God has wrote about him. He would have said, I don't care. I don't think that's about me. Maybe another Cyrus sometime. Because if you read in the Bible, there are two Darius. Darius 1 and Darius 2. But Cyrus, there is no Cyrus 1 and Cyrus 2. So he cannot say, this is not for me. This is for somebody else. When God inspires you, then you have to follow God. There are so many people God talked to them, inspires them, tell them to do certain things, but they do not do it. They ignore it. They think that God didn't speak to me. Like a Gideon, when God talks to him, he said, I want some fleece. I want to find out if it's really God. But this man didn't put any fleece. He just obeyed God. And he said, I'm going to do what God told me to do. Let's go back to the book of Ezra, chapter 1, verse 2.
Thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he hath charged me to build him an house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah.
Now he says, God has given me all the kingdoms of the world. Means under heaven, any kingdom is there, that belongs to me because God has given to me. And he says, he charged me. He charged me to build the house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. So he says, God inspired me. God has charged me. And when God says something, you listen. If you disobey God, your punishment will be severe. And so you cannot say, who cares what God says? Somebody will come and say, this is the way the God told me, or this is the way God says. Somebody say, who cares what God says? I do whatever I want to do. And those people get into more trouble. And not only that, they go to eternal hellfire. People do not know what the hellfire is all about. Some people want to know there is no hell. There is no hellfire. There is no punishment. And that's what they want to know. But if you think about the hellfire, that hell is not quenchable. God is not going to put somebody in hell and take it out. Now, there are people, you know, coming and giving this all kind of story. I was in hell this many days or this many hours or this many minutes, and God took me out of hell. They were not in hell. Their body was still on earth. Their mind was in hell. Their spirit was wandering. Tell me when somebody put them in a little bit of fire and put them there and see how they come out. So there is no rescuing from hell. The people are giving this teaching and telling that I was in hell for this many days and this many hours and this many minutes, and telling God took me out of the hell and brought me out. So the people getting a false idea, one day when God throws me in a hell, God might put me out of hell like these people came out of the hell. It's not going to happen. Hell is for eternity. For eternity means there is no end. So don't take it so easy that there is no hell and God is not going to put me in hell. God is so gracious and loving. And even though he put me in a hell, he might change his mind and he might take me out. Because I heard so many stories. This is all false and God is not going to take you out of hell. That's why this man has seen what happened to Nebuchadnezzar. What happened to his grandson. And if I don't obey God, I will be doomed. So he says, God promised him first. You are my shepherd. I'm going to use you as taking care of my sheep. And I have anointed you. And you're going to build my temple. And I'm going to give the kingdoms of the whole world. And you're going to rule them. And so when God says that, and not only that, the word of God says, God stirred his heart, his spirit. Once God changed somebody's heart, then you are completely transformed. So here this man is transformed, and he is saying, I am going to do what God told me to do. Now you're going to study what this man is doing. Now, these people are heathen. They are worshiping heathen God. And so heathen man is telling God of Israel, he told me to build the temple in Jerusalem. What he's thinking, children of Israel's God lives in Jerusalem. So we are going to build the temple for him because he's God. So he has the idea that God lives in Jerusalem. And so I'm going to build the temple for God or rebuild the temple for God. Verse 3. Ezra chapter 1, verse 3.
Who is there among you of all his people? his God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel. He is the God which is in Jerusalem.
Now he is saying, I am trying to build the temple in Jerusalem where your God lives, and that is real God. He lives in Jerusalem. Let's make a house for the Lord. And so he is trying to encourage the children of Israel. Are you concerned going back to your country and build the house of God? And these people, even though they were in foreign land, they got used to this land, and some of the people were doing very well, so they didn't want to go. Some people live in slavery, but they don't understand the slavery is bad. We don't want the slavery. We want to be free. But somebody says, oh, my master gives me food, and I have beautiful bed, and I have good food, and my master is good. I'm his slave. But they don't know the freedom. You can eat the raw bread, you can drink some water, and you can feel free. Some people are doing crimes and going to jail. Why are they going to jail? Because they look for a job, they don't find a job. And they look for a job, they don't find a job, and they're thinking people in the jail, they have television, they have good bed, they have good food, they have special doctors, medical doctors. And so why I'm suffering here? I can break the bank and get some money and live in a luxury, and when they catch me, I'll be better there. And that's the idea they got, and that's what the people are doing it. And there are some people, when government gives you house, not a mansion, some little house, some little money, and so then they say, okay, if you have this money, you have government food, government, what do you call, medicine, government telephone, everything a government has given to you. So when you don't have anything, you said, wow, I got lots. And then they're getting a job, and they said, if you get the job, you're going to lose all of this. And so I'm not going to get a job. And that's why people are satisfied with what government is giving, and we don't need a job. Now, for example, government gives you money and you calculate everything, and some people are like crookedly get the, what do you call that, disability, and get this money. You saw some take the disability and go and play the wrestling. You heard that? Take the disability check and go and do wrestling. They think nobody knows. And maybe I go to some other state and nobody will know. The point I'm making here, people are trying to think, my government giving me everything free, and so why should I look for a job, and why should I get a better job? When I get a better job, then I lose all this benefit. So what I'm going to do, I get government benefits, and I work somewhere and tell them, give me the under the table. What is the under the table? Do you know? Under the table means you don't show to the government that you're working. And you think I'm doing good thing. It's not good thing. You're lying. You're cheating. And that's sin. So what you have to do, you have to pray to God, say, Lord, give me the better job than what government is giving, so I will be able to get a good job, good paying job, and I'll be good citizen paying my taxes. That's why Jesus said, what is belong to government, give it to government. What is belong to God, you give it to God. If you don't give the tithes and offerings and you always depend on government, you will never, never, never be doing better. You did, your children will do, your grandchildren will do the same thing, and your great-grandchildren will do, and they will always live in a government-provided house. Why? Because they don't trust in God. If you trust in God, God will supply. There was a beggar, and he used to come and say, oh, king, you are so good. And he worshiped the king, and he said, oh, we don't have a king like this. So king will give some money, and he will go. Other man will come, he says, What king can give? My God will give. And the king didn't like this man. One day, this king decided to give some more money to this beggar who is saying good about him. So he took the pumpkin, big pumpkin, carved the pumpkin, and put all the silver and gold and diamonds and rubies and everything and sealed it. And when this beggar came, he said, give it to him this. So he came and he took this pumpkin. In our language, he says, Raza udar zala ani hati bhopla dila. That means the king was so pleased and he gave the pumpkin. So pumpkin is not that great fruit in our country. There are better vegetables and everything. Pumpkin, we don't eat too much. And so there's pumpkin. What is pumpkin? And so he got the pumpkin. He was so disappointed. He went to the shopping and told the vegetable market, you know what? I got this pumpkin. And I don't get any money. I'm going to sell this pumpkin. How much you can give it to me? We'll give you $1.50. Okay, he gave the pumpkin. And he left. And the other beggar comes and says, what king can give it to me? But God will give it to me. And he got $2. And he's looking for vegetable. He says, what I'm going to buy with the $2? He said, hey, how much this for pumpkin? He said, I just bought it for $1.50. I'm going to sell it for $2. Here I have $2. He gave the $2 and he got the pumpkin. And he goes home and cut the pumpkin. And he got all the riches of the world. And he was so happy. Next day that beggar goes and he says, oh, king, you are so good. And this, he said, didn't I give you all the treasures? So he said, what treasures? I put all the diamonds and jewelries and everything and put in the pumpkin so you could have it. He said, well, I sold it. He runs to the shopping. He said, hey, where is my pumpkin? He said, I sold it to another beggar, another person. The point I'm making, don't trust in a king. Trust in living God. God is the one supplies the need. Somebody says, someday I'm going to get a lottery. How much money you spend from your childhood until you go into grave, all those money you calculate, you put thousands of dollars in a lottery. But if you have trusted God, God can give the treasures of the heathen. He can give good job. He can do anything. When you're looking for a job and you say, Lord, I need the best job I ever had. What is the secret? You give it to God. You start giving to God, God will open the heavenly windows. So now here God is inspiring this man and he's saying, listen, I learned about your God. He's a good God. He's a miracle working God. And that is your God, so I'm going to inspire you. Don't stay in this kingdom. You have freedom. Go. And he says, I'm not forcing you to get out of my kingdom. If you want to stay anywhere in the world, all the kingdom is belong to me. But do one thing, be faithful to your God. Can you imagine some heathen person telling you, be faithful to your God, go to church Sunday. I'm not a Christian, but you are a Christian. Why didn't you go to church today? Heathen people will tell you. So this heathen king telling Israeli people, go to your country. You have freedom. And build a temple and do everything and I'm going to help you. And so some people didn't want to go. But he said, if you don't want to go, that's okay, but help the works of God. Let's read Ezra chapter 1, verse 4.
And whosoever remaineth in any place where he sojourneth, let the men of his place help him with silver and with gold and with goods and with beasts beside the freewill offering for the house of God that is in Jerusalem.
Now he is saying, you want to stay here or anywhere in the world? But let me give you advice. Whoever lives here or goes back to your country, help the work of God with the silver, with the gold, and your animals. And beside you give the free will. Do all of these things. Somebody says, well, I give my tithe. He said, give your offering too. So he says, give your offering, free will offering. I'm not saying how much you should give, but give it from your heart. You have silver, give silver. If you have gold, give gold. If you have animals, you give animal. Maybe your God needs animal for sacrifice. Do everything. And he's encouraging each and everyone, go to your country, give the offering, build the house of God in Jerusalem. And I thought that is so wonderful, with heathen king advising the Israeli people, do the right thing for your God. We don't want somebody telling us to what to do for Christ. The Spirit of God will inspire you. If the Spirit of God inspired this Cyrus, he can inspire you. And here he says he is going to inspire some of the people. Let's read the verse 5.
Then rose up the chief of the fathers of Judah and Benjamin, and the priests and the Levites, with all them whose spirit God had raised, to go up to build the house of the Lord which is in Jerusalem.
Now here he is saying, God raised the chiefs of the Israeli people, Judah, Benjamin, our priests, the Levites, and all of these people's spirit was raised, means they were all inspired by God to go to Jerusalem. Do you know how many people are, I'm talking about Israeli people, or Jewish people, they are around the world. They are scattered. But the word of God says, I'm going to bring them back to Jerusalem. And so many people from Russia, from India, from Africa, they are coming back to Jerusalem. But still there are hundreds and millions of people living in America, Jewish people, because they have more luxury here. But the day will come. They will be going back to their country because it's a word of God. And so each and every person, he says, all the priests, all the chief priests, all the elderly people, and Judah, Benjamin, and all these Levites, and everyone God inspired and raised their spirit up. Let's go. Let's go to our country. Somebody say, but I built the house here. Don't worry about this house. Go to your country. And that's what they were inspired. So if God is not inspiring you to do anything, you will not do anything. Don't do because somebody is doing it. You have to do what God has told you to do. There are some people say, many people are serving the Lord. I will serve the Lord also. If you are not inspired by God, if you are not called by God, you will not serve the Lord. You will go 10 miles and then turn around. God has to inspire you. You have to be rooted and grounded in the Lord, then God will speak to you. People say, God is not speaking to me. God will not speak to you when you are in a drug house, or you are in some kind of prostitute center or somewhere. God is not going to speak to you. God speaks to his people when they are reading the Bible, studying the word, or praying, or fasting, or somebody praying for them, or something happens. God is going to inspire the people, so you have to have a vision, you have to have a calling to do the right thing. Now somebody says, but God didn't call me. The word of God says, oh heavy laden, what? Come unto me. You got the call. God has already called. He said, many are called, but few are chosen. So you have to say, Lord, you calling me, I want to be chosen. The word of God says, pray. That we need more workers to work in the vineyard. And so he said, pray to the Father. And when I read that word, I said, if everybody start praying, Lord, send some workers, who will go? I said, Lord, send me as a worker. I'm not only praying, but I'm available. That's what it is. You can say, you go, you go, you go. Everybody say, you go. Nobody will go. Okay, let's go back to the Ezra chapter 1 verse.
And all they that were about them strengthened their hands with vessels of silver, with gold, with goods, and with beasts, and with precious things, beside all that was willingly offered. Also Cyrus the king brought forth the vessels of the house of the Lord, which Nebuchadnezzar had brought forth out of Jerusalem, and had put them in the house of his gods.
Now here is saying, these people are really inspired. And God strengthened their hands, so they said, okay, let's take the vessels of God, the silver and gold and beast and everything, precious things, and they are going and willingly offering these things. And the king said, okay, You people are doing your part. Let me do my part. Nebuchadnezzar bought all your vessels from your country, silver and gold and all these precious vessels. I'm going to give it back to God. And you take it to your country. You take it to your God's house, because this was sitting in Nebuchadnezzar's God's temple. He says, I want to take it and give it to you. You take it to your country. See, God is wise God. He inspires the people to do the right thing. This man could say, God inspired me to build the temple, but he did not tell me to give the silver and gold. So some people try to play tricky game with God. God told me to, he gave me grace to give up my marijuana and drug, but he did not tell me to give up smoking. That's what the people come and tell me. One lady came and she said, oh, God told me smoking is okay, but the drug is not. My God wants your temple to be clean. The devil doesn't want your temple to be clean. If you are smoking, drinking, or taking anything which is addictive, who are you? You are a slave. You are a slave to those things. People do not like the word slave. I tell the people, you are in America, you think you are free, and you are not slave anymore, but you are slave. You are slave to some of the habits, you are doing it, but Jesus Christ said what? He shall know the truth, truth shall set you free, and if you know the truth, you will be free indeed. So once we know Christ, he sets us free. Then when he sets us free, then whatever is not pleasing to God. I don't have to tell anybody who's a born-again person how to dress, what kind of food you eat, and what places you should go, and what kind of things you do and what kind of things you don't do. Some people play dumb, so you have to tell them. But the Word of God says once you have the Spirit of God, the knowledge of God, you don't have somebody to teach you what to do. The Spirit of God, he said, I'll send the Holy Spirit, will teach you, guide you in all truth. If somebody says, I'm born again and don't do the right thing, somebody says, I'm born again, but I don't want to take water baptism. I said, then you're not born again. If you're born again and you don't want to take water baptism is the commandment of God. You want to deny the commandment of God and you want to say, I'm a child of God? When Jesus took the baptism, what he said, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. If you say I'm a child of God and doing certain things which is not pleasing in the sight of God, you have to think, I am deceiving myself. I am not really born again. I am not really given my heart. I am thinking that Jesus is in my heart, but at the same time, I have devil in my heart also. You cannot keep two things in one heart. You have to get rid of one thing, otherwise you will be in trouble. Okay, let's go back to the Ezra chapter 1, verse 8.
Even those did Cyrus, king of Persia, bring forth by the hand of Mithridath, the treasurer, and numbered them unto Sheshbazzar, the prince of Judah.
Now he says, what he did, he called his treasurer. Treasurer knows where your money is. So the treasurer says, okay, these are the things we treasure in our places. We are going to take care of this. So he brings all the treasures and give it to the Sheshbazzar. Now they say, some people say, we don't know who that guy was. But that same guy is Zerubbabel. We will be learning later on. So why his name is different here? Because you remember Daniel's and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, their names were changed when they went to Babylon. So somebody named him in Babylon, but Zerubbabel name was given by his parents because they said, we are in the captivity in a foreign land. So they said, I will call my son Zerubbabel. So Zerubbabel and Sheshbazzar, the same thing. So this treasurer gives all the treasure from their God's temple, and all this money and everything, give it to the Zerubbabel. Verse 9.
And this is the number of them, 30 chargers of gold, 1,000 chargers of silver, 9 and 20 knives. 30 basins of gold, silver basins of a second sort, 410, and other vessels 1,000. All the vessels of gold and of silver were 5,400. All these did Sheshbazzar bring up with them of the captivity that were brought up from Babylon unto Jerusalem.
Now see, all this silver and gold, the treasurer brings all this treasure, gold and silver, and piled up thousands and millions of dollars worth. And they didn't say, hey king, are you foolish? Giving all of these things to Israeli people, they are our slaves. We don't have to give them that money. It's ours. But they had a big heart. When the king says, hey, treasurer, give it away. And that's what it is. We have to learn that you're giving a dollar or dime. You're giving by inspired by God. And when God tells you to do, then don't tell God, Oh Lord, this is too much because I'm going to divide my tithe and I'm going to do something else. Tithe is belong to God. Some people take their tithe and go on looking for beggars and give to the beggar their tithe. God is not pleased with that. God says tithe is belong to God. You don't take God's money and giving to beggar. God says, God knows he can give to the bird. He knows. Some people go and feed the bird, do you know? They go and feed the bird and they kill the bird. Because they don't know. Some people, they have fish, give more food. They say, I'm giving so generous, giving too much food. What happened? Fish dies. God knows what to do, what not to do. We are trying to protect our environment. We have spotted owls. Keep them. But you can kill millions of babies without mother and father's permission. But you cannot kill the spotted owl. Or you cannot do any harm to any dog. If you do, you go to jail. This is upside down government, upside down rules. God knows how many owls you need in this country. They migrate. He can bring more owls from somewhere. Did you see other day some of the birds start dying in every state? They say, what happened? So many birds fell down, hundreds and thousands of birds. If they say, now we want to do something, let's take care of these birds. What happened? They multiply. They come and multiply. We don't have to worry. God is in charge. God told them multiply when that's the day God created them. They're going to obey. Did you see bird has a family planning? No. Did you see animal do family planning? No. They're going to say, oh, we are multiplying too much. Let's do some family planning. The people start doing, we are going to control our population. China did it. Now what happened? The China, they don't have the girls to get married. So what they have to do? Kill somebody or go to somebody. You see in New York, half of the New York is Chinese. Why are they running? They're not her wives. They're looking for wives. They're looking for husband. The point I'm making, you trying to control the world, you're not the God. God knows how to control the population. How many girls in America are looking for a child? And they're going for Russia, they're going for another country to adopt the child. And here you're killing your own children in the milk factory, killing the baby factory. We don't have the wisdom. We are trying to control ourselves. God is in charge. God wants to control the whole world. The Bible says everything is in his hand. But we are trying to be God. That's what the problem is. We cannot control animals, we cannot control people, we cannot control anything. Sometimes people say, okay, we are control this, and then what, one hurricane or some fire comes or something, how many houses burn down? Some millionaires, they brag about their houses. I'm going to go to California. Go to California, build the mansions and burn down to the ashes. The point I'm making, you cannot run from God. You run to God. You're going to go to California, go to Hawaii, you go to Florida, you go anywhere. If God is not with you, you might be saying, somebody say, oh, I built a mansion. Look at my mansion. Do you know when somebody buys the house, what they do? They get a party. What is the party? Housewarming party. Actually, what they want to do? Brag about their house and take somebody's money too. Come and bring something for the house. So you put a party for $100 and you get $1,000 gifts. And plus, they show their whole house. Look at the house. What happened in one king showed his whole house to the enemy? He said, you know what? I'm going to give it to him. Don't brag about your house. Don't brag about your bank account. Don't brag about what you have. One day will come, you won't have anything. You have silver and gold. We learn in the Word of God, they will throw their silver and gold on the street. And nobody will go to collect. So the time is coming. We have to thank God that God has given me health. God has given me grace. And I am alive. The point I'm making, there are some people that are so proud. They think, I got everything. I don't need anybody. But the time comes, you need somebody. You cannot do everything all the time. When you are young, you are a boxer, you are a wrestler, you don't need anybody. Our life in this world is very fragile life. We need one another. See, God did not make only one finger. There are some people that person do not have hand and feet, but God still using him. But God is a wise God. He got not only one hand and five fingers, he gave two hands and 10 fingers. He gave toes and everything. And God did everything right. Today, if you lose your hand or feet or something, say, don't worry, we'll fix it. And you go to the hospital, they make one hand with a metal or something. That hand will not do the same thing what this hand is doing. And they will charge you thousands of dollars. So the point I'm making, one hand get thousands of dollars and 1 foot and one leg and one eye and one heart or one kidney. God has made us more than a $1 trillion man. But people don't understand what God has given to us. They always look at somebody else. This man has more than me. Don't worry what he has. Our life is like a what? Bubble. It's not going to stay too long. What we have to do? Say, Lord, why I'm here? Somebody says, I'm here to take care of myself, take care of my family, and go and look at some cities and run around, and that's my life. How long are you going to do? There will be time coming, you'll be lying in your bed, and you need somebody to pick you up. Why can't you say, Lord, I am healthy now? Do you know when I was a young man, I talked to my boss and I said, God is calling me how to go. Do you know what he said? He said, you're so young. Wait until you're 50 years old. And then you go. I said, sir, in your festival, do you give the rotten fruits and rotten things to your God? He said, no, we give the best. I said, my God says, when you are in your youth, remember your God. So I want to give my youth to God. And I gave my youth to God. So the point I'm making, I was not waiting until I'll be 75 or 85 years old, and then I'll go to the Lord. Not now, Lord. I have so many things to do. Don't come. I have so many things to do. These are not important things what you're doing today. If Jesus Christ comes now, we should be more than happy to go. All the mansions, all the beauty, all what you have is going to be nothing to the kingdom of God. Shall we rise? This Cyrus the king obeyed the Lord and said to these people, go, give silver, give gold, give whatever you have, animals and everything, and go to your country, build a temple, because your God is a real God, and he lives in Jerusalem. Do you think somebody who is not a Christian supposed to tell you to go to church and give your tithes and offerings? We should be preaching the gospel, not the heathen telling us what to do. Let's pray. Father, thank you for giving us grace to come to the house of God. We heard you can inspire even the heathens to serve you. Lord Jesus, we are your children. We are bought by the price, the blood of Jesus Christ. We are belong to you. We want to serve you with our strength, our money, and whatever we have is all belong to you. Give us grace to live for you and for your glory. We commit ourselves into your loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Please be seated.